Turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of James, to the book of James, chapter 1. Whenever we go to the book of James, you want to remember this was written by the half-brother to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? James grew up in the home with a perfect brother. Jesus was his brother. I can just imagine Mary saying to James, "Why can't you be like your brother?" Well, no one could be like Jesus. And God now moves on James's heart. And James writes to Christians that are under great adversity and great difficulty. For the faith, they've stood true, but they've been scattered. They've literally had to take flight to save their lives. And gives us this incredible instruction. I like how some have described it, a book of spiritual survival instruction. But immediately in James, God goes to a subject that every man here needs. It's a subject that I love to preach on because it's so critical in my own life. It's the subject of wisdom. And do you have it? Do you have wisdom sent from above? There is no substitute for the God's wisdom. Education can't take its place, and I believe you ought to get all the education you can. Talent can't take its place, and I hope you're incredibly talented and blessed with all kinds of gifts. But as we're about to read here, wisdom is something that God puts an incredibly high priority on. The Bible says in 2 Colossians chapter 1 that when God came to Solomon and said, "What can I give you? What do you want?" And Solomon could have asked God for anything. And he said, "What I want is wisdom." And that touched the heart of God. And God said, and I quote, "Because this was in thine heart, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to give you everything else you didn't ask for. I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you power because you asked for wisdom." Do you have the wisdom of God? There's no way to be what God's called us to be as Christian men without it. By the way, there's no way for any Christian to be what God's called them to be without heaven-sent wisdom. I want you to read how we get it. God says, you want heaven-sent wisdom. There's three things I command. And I love to preach from this passage because I need to hear it myself. Listen carefully to what it says. James chapter 1, starting at verse 5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Let's pray. Father, please speak to hearts this morning. These men don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from heaven. May your word now etch itself on our souls. May this morning we hear from God. We crave wisdom. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's make sure you understand what wisdom is, because there's a confusion between his wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing things. Somebody can be incredibly knowledgeable and not be wise. There can be a knowledgeable mechanic, a knowledgeable lawyer, a knowledgeable doctor. They may know all kinds of things about a given craft or a profession, but it doesn't mean they're wise. Wisdom is different totally from knowledge. Knowledge is knowing things. I want you to jot this down. Wisdom is knowing what to do and when to do it. That's wisdom. We deal with some lawyers that are very knowledgeable. We have a lawyer we deal with. Can you imagine? He's a medical doctor. He's a lawyer. And he has 4 earned PhDs on top of all of that. And the guy is an educated idiot. Now, if you're going to play trivia, you want him on your side. What he knows about everything is just dumbfounding. But he doesn't know what to do. And he doesn't know when to do it. And he comes to us, and this happens regularly. He'll say, David, you got to help me. I don't know what to do. There is no substitute for wisdom. What to do and when to do it. And don't get the notion that just because you're knowledgeable about something, that that's a trade-off for having heaven-sent wisdom. How many of you want to know what to do and when to do it? Boy, I sure do. Now, God says, you want it, there's 3 things you got to do, and we just read them. Let's go through it. Number 1, if any of you lack wisdom, circle the word lack in your Bible. There's the first thing you got to do. You got to acknowledge that you lack. You got to acknowledge that you lack. You've got to before God, and you can fool man, but nobody fools God. You've got to acknowledge, I lack. I lack. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother Gibbs. I bring quite a little bit to the table. No. Until you acknowledge that you lack, you'll never have heaven-sent wisdom. God will leave you on your own. And you know what you'll end up doing? You'll end up running around trying to ask other people, what should I do? When should I do it? And God says, why don't you ask me? But you've got to come before me acknowledging I don't know what to do. I love to use my grandfather as an example because of the lessons he taught me in life. My grandfather was not a well-educated man. He left school in the 7th grade because he didn't want to repeat it for the 3rd time. And when he left school, he had to do something to make a living. And the only thing he knew how to do was slaughter a cow. He knew how to do that. So the day he left school, he went to somebody and negotiated to buy a cow from him, took it home, slaughtered it, put it on a horse-drawn wagon, took it into town and sold it, came back and paid for the cow. Next morning he got up, he got him another cow, slaughtered it, took it into town. He did that 6 days a week. Well, pretty sure 1 cow became 2, and 2 became 10, and 10 became 100. And by the time I came along, my dad and my grandfather were slaughtering 5,000 to 7,000 cattle a week, putting them in semis and sending them everywhere. My granddad did not have a skilled education. When he would sign his name, he had to concentrate how to do it. He didn't have a fluent handwriting. When he'd read a book, when he'd read the Bible, he'd go word by word with his finger. But he had something. I heard him pray hundreds of times. And the prayers always started out like this. Lord, this is Earl. And I'd say, Grandpa, you don't think God knows your name? He said, I'm sure he does. He knows everything. But I'm having a conversation with him. And then he'd say this, Lord, this is Earl, and I lack. He said, I got 1,000 men need a paycheck this week. He said, I'm dealing with volatile markets that are exploding everywhere. And God, I don't know what to do. I lack. Now, you know what keeps us from saying that? Pride. Somehow we just think, yeah, I'm probably not all I need to be. But to come before God and say, I lack, until you're willing to acknowledge that you lack, you will never, ever get heaven-sent wisdom. My granddad called me one day. I was a lawyer now. And he said, the feds are wanting to talk to us. The Secretary of Agriculture wants us to come to New York for a major meeting with six banks. We're going to go to the Twin Towers, David. At that point, they were still standing. And my granddad said, these men scare me, David. I want you to go with me. I said, Granddad, we're fine. We're not doing one thing wrong. Well, we went there and went up in the Twin Tower. I don't remember what floor we went to, but I remember we looked down on the clouds. And we walked into a conference room that was about the size of this room, and there was hand-carved oak leaf everywhere. I've never seen such a fancy conference room. And they had people there to escort us in, and they put my granddad and I at a table facing this semicircle of high-powered people. And they all came in with all kinds of helpers and aides and lieutenants. And they started lecturing us, and they said, do you understand the meat that you're sending overseas and the trade zones you're going through, and you got to do this and you got to do that, and you got to understand this and you got to understand these currencies that you're taking and trading off? And they just went on and on and on. They went on for 2 hours. Finally, the man running the meeting, the Secretary of Agriculture, he looked at us and he said, Mr. Gibbs, do you understand what we're saying? My granddad looked at him and he said, I am so glad you asked. Because he said, I don't understand one thing you're saying. And then he looked at him and he said, I'm not sure you understand what you're saying. He said, the problem with you guys is none of you have ever slaughtered a cow. And he said, you're sitting here contradicting each other, and I don't think you know what you want us to do. And when he said that, the guy sitting next to the secretary leaned over and said, he's got your number, doesn't he? There was a court reporter sitting right down front, where just a few feet from us. And she leaned over by us and she said, been a long time since somebody told these birds that. He said, you're talking to me like I built this. He said, I didn't build this, God did. And he said, you're talking to me like somehow it's my skills that make this go. He said, it isn't me. He said, I lack. He said, you men would do a good thing if you'd get before God and acknowledge that you lack. He said, now let me tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to get up and leave, and I'm going to leave my grandson here, and I leave, and on the way home, I'm going to buy some cattle. I'm going to take them back to Cleveland, and I'm going to slaughter them, and I'm going to sell them, because if I don't do that, you won't have anything to talk about anyway. He said, because we'll be out of business. But he said, I'll agree to whatever my grandson says. And then he turned to me and he said, and I want you to remember, you lack. Don't you sit here with your degrees thinking you know what you're doing. There is no substitute for the wisdom of God. Absolutely none. Do you have it? Do I have it? Can you say from God, not your experience, but from God, I know what to do and when to do it. The first key is you got to acknowledge that you lack. Look at the second key. If any of you lack wisdom, there's number one, let him ask of God. You got to acknowledge that you lack, and then you got to ask. Now, the word ask there is the word for asking with specificity. It's the word for asking in detail, not just, Lord, be with me today, help me. I need your help. No, no, no. In James, where it says, ask and ye shall receive, it's the word for getting specific with God. It says, you have not because you ask not. God says, I want you to get specific with me. What do you need to know? What to do and when to do it? My granddad, when he would pray, I would think, boy, he's so specific with God. That's how you get it. You've got to ask. Now look at what he says. If you lack and you ask, look at what he says next. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Do you understand? Your God promises you this wisdom, the very wisdom that Solomon had. Do you have it? Well, Brother Gibbs, I think I have some of it. No, 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 no. You never have this wisdom in parceled amounts. What do you mean? You don't have 10% of what you need. It won't do you any good. It don't do any good to have 90% of what you need. You're still not sure what to do and when to do it. God says, I'm going to give it to you liberally. That word liberally there means in measure beyond anything you will ever need. If you have the wisdom of God, you have it in measure beyond anything you ever require. But the word ask here was the word for asking in continuum. You don't do it once. No, there, Brother Tim, now you got it. No, no, no. You got to keep asking. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. I watched my grandfather dozens of times go through horrific market swings. When you're buying stuff that's a live commodity and you're going to kill it, you can only hang on to it so long. And all kinds of major companies around us, Swift and Morrow and American Foods and all kinds of other people went bankrupt. And people would come to my granddad and said, how do you manage all these market swings? What do? He said, I asked God to tell me what to do and when to do it. And then I watched these big wigs say, but I mean, for real, how do you do it? And I watched him tell him, he said, first you got to get saved. And then he said, you got to ask and acknowledge that you lack. What do you need to ask wisdom for? God has said, I will give it to you. Not maybe I will, not sometimes I will. God says, I promise you, I'll give you wisdom. But look at the third requirement. If any of you lack wisdom, you got to acknowledge you lack. Number two, you got to ask. And then number three, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do you believe God's going to give it to you? Well, I don't know, David. I still know that God will give it to me. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. You've already talked yourself right out of these verses. God's not giving it to you because you've got some inherent skill set. God's given it to you because you acknowledge that you lack. and you've asked in faith, believing. That's the key. He wants me to have it. He wants you to have it. There's not a day. Last night after the service, boy, I had a number of emergency phone calls. And you know what? They never call me and say, tell me everything you know. They say, what do I do now? And when do I do it? Does your family know that you have heaven-sent wisdom? And you believe that God has promised that. Now, the devil's going to whisper in your ear and say, well, yeah, for somebody more spiritual than you, maybe. Oh, Brother Tim, sure, God will do it for him. And that guy, and maybe him, but me? Listen, let him ask of God that giveth to, what's the next word? All men, liberally. All men is you. All men is me. Now, you got to be honest, boy, about lacking. And don't try to hedge and play games with God. Okay, I realize I got to say I lack. Okay, I lack. Okay, now can we go to number two? No, no, no. God knows your heart. You can fool men. You can't fool God. But you got to ask in faith, believing that God is going to do it. I was with my granddad once, and a major storm hit the cattle market, and cattle weren't available, and prices were just ricocheting all over the market front. And when you're trying to get 5,000 to 7,000 cattle a week to sell, it's a nightmare. And everyone would say to my granddad, what are you doing? And I heard him say this 100 times. I don't know yet, but God's promised to tell me. God's promised. And I would say, Grandpa, he said, David, God has promised to give it to me liberally. And he'll never scold me for asking. But I got to ask in faith, believing. Acknowledge that I lack. An amazing thing, that business went on for 63 years. Never missed a paycheck. Never left a debtor holding anything. He knew what to do and when to do it. You got a simple choice. You can take the best crack at it you can, which is exactly what the world does. Or you can get heaven-sent wisdom with God telling you what to do and when to do it. But look at what he says about faith. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now you want to put a star by verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Do you understand? Without faith that God's going to keep this promise, it's a waste of breath to pray it. You got to believe God's going to do it. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When God tells you what to do, are you willing to do it? Now, he's promised to give it to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? Ask in faith, believing. You're going to do what God gives you to do. Yeah, but what if God gives me to do what I don't want to do right now? Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. God's not giving heaven-sent wisdom so you can ponder it or play with it. God's giving it so that you can be resolute, not double-minded. God, I'm going to do what you speak to me. I'm going to do it. My granddad, I was working for him, and he called me in one day, and he said, David, I've been praying over some of these things here, these cattle we're buying. And he said, I got one here I want you to fix for me. He said, we bought this farmer's cattle too cheap. And I said, let me see the records. I took a look. I said, Grandpa, we didn't do anything wrong. We were high bid at the auction. We just stole them at auction. He said, that's not how a Christian does it, David. And he said, I pray every morning over all of these. I mean, to get 5,000 to 7,000 a week, we're buying in excess of 1,000 cattle a day. He looked at every one of them and he said, God, you show me what to do and when to do it. And he said, David, this one right here, he said, we bought this farmer's cattle too cheap. And I said, Grandpa, we did nothing wrong. He said, David, you want somebody to buy your cattle too cheap? I said, no. Then he said, then don't you ever do it to anybody else. He said, you're commanded by God to treat others like you'd want them to treat you. He said, now I've put money in an envelope here. And I want you to go to this farmer and I want you to get there before they go to bed tonight. Because I don't want them thinking we took advantage of them. This farm that I had to get to was 300 miles away. It's the dead of winter. And he hands me this envelope. And I said, how much money's in here? He said, about $35,000. He said, I put a little premium in there for him. Because I want him to understand we're Christians. You get there and tell him we're sorry. We don't do business that way. All the way there, I kept thinking, I wonder if I'd do this. I wonder if you'd do it. Not me, man. If I can get the better end of a deal, I'm going to ring it blue. Because I'm in it for me. Yeah, but do you really want to know what to do and when to do it? Or do you just want to know what to do and when to do it when you're panicked? You just want to know what to do and when to do it when you got problems on all sides. How about everyday life? What to do and when to do it. I got to that farm. It was dark. Snow was flying. But the lights were still on, and I knocked on the door, and the lady came and pulled a little curtain back, and then her husband came. And I said, my name's Dave Gibbs, and my granddad, Earl Gibbs, came here. We bought your cattle too cheap. And we don't do that to people. And we want to make it right. And he doesn't want you going to bed tonight worried about it. Here. They opened the envelope. When the lady saw it, she cried so hard she got a nosebleed. What she said next amazed me. She said, what kind of man does this? What kind of man are you? What kind of man am I? Her husband leaned over and was hugging her and said, I'll tell you the kind that does it, a Christian. I said, that's my granddad. Yeah, he is a Christian. I made a trip like that many times. He said, David, we're going to do what God tells us what to do and when to do it. You ready to do it in faith, believing? And even if you don't want to do it, would you still do what he lays on your heart to do? That's heaven-sent wisdom. Well, Lord, tell me what you're thinking, and maybe I'll do it, maybe I won't. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Whoa. When my granddad passed away, they were going to have a funeral viewing. And if I recall right, it was from 2 in the afternoon until 7 at night, and then Funeral was the next morning. They had to cancel the funeral because thousands of people showed up. Farmers came from Texas, and here we are in Ohio. They came from California and Montana and Idaho. They came from everywhere. All our competitors showed up. And for 3 days, they walked by, and I stood there and I said, let me tell you about him. Let me tell you what I saw him do. Let me tell you. At the end of the day, when they're walking by your casket, what are they going to be able to say? Are they going to be able to say, let me tell you what I saw him do? Grandpa, you didn't have a lot of book smarts, but you knew how to get heaven-sent wisdom, and it changed everything. That lady that I took that first envelope to, she and her husband came through. She had her grandchildren. She said, I wanted to show my grandchildren this man. I've talked about him so much, I wanted them to see him. Then she came up and she hugged my neck, and I know this is hard to imagine now. Back then, they all called me Little Gibbs. She hugged my neck, and she said, Little Gibbs, be like him. Get what he had. You said he was getting it from God. Make sure you get it too. It's called wisdom, knowing what to do and when to do it. It'll change everything. My grandfather's in heaven now, and now it's my turn. Now it's your turn. Is your wife going to be able to say, my husband has got wisdom from God? How would you like to have to follow the leadership of somebody that doesn't have it, who's just making the best guesses they can? If you lack, ask in faith, believing, and it shall be given him. You can have it, but you got to acknowledge the lack, and you got to ask. And then you got to do it in faith, believing. God, you tell me what to do and when to do it, and I'm going to follow your wisdom. I wish I could tell you that I've always done it, but it's just amazing how we get hurried along making decisions, and pretty soon I'm just making the best calls I can, and never one time took it to the Lord and said, I don't know what I'm doing. I need to know what to do and when to do it. You can have it. He's promised. And I beg you'll leave this conference saying, by the grace of God, I'm going to get what God's promised. Remember the verse at the end. He says, let not that man think he shall receive anything. If you're just asking God to give you little tidbits here and there and help save everything, God said, you're not going to get anything because you didn't ask. How many of you want the wisdom of God? Hold your hand up. Father, you see our hands. More importantly, you see our hearts. God, we want to leave here knowing that we can claim this promise. The very wisdom you gave to Solomon. Thank you for giving it to us. But God, we acknowledge we lack. And God, we're going to ask specifically what to do, when to do it. And God, by your grace, we're asking in faith, believing. God, we're going to do what you tell us to do. Hear the cry of every heart here. God, my prayer is that we'd be men of wisdom, men of James 1, a promise of God. I ask this in the name of Jesus, and all God's men together said, amen, amen. Now, the devil's going to try to talk you out of it. He's going to say, yeah, that's what it says, but there's more to it than that. Go back and read the verse. There isn't more to it than that. It is where an uneducated cattle farmer, but a man who believed the book, could take heaven-sent wisdom and do it. And what would it take for you? I hope you've got a lot of educational skills. Just don't let them stop you from getting wisdom. There is no substitute for it. Turn to your neighbor right now, whoever you're by, and tell them, I'm going to get heaven-sent wisdom. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to get heaven-sent wisdom. Amen. Now turn back to your neighbor and tell them, I want you to get it too, because you really need it. I want you to get it. You need it. God bless you, men. This morning, I need wisdom. So do you. Without it, we're whistling in a hurricane. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, boy, do I lack. I need to ask. Tell your neighbor, boy, do I lack. I need to ask. Thank you so much.